Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are in the last show of January.
don't mistake that with the last day of January.
No, tomorrow's the last day. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. I'll mention for the recording that you can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter over at The Real Dvorak and me, Andrew Horowitz, at Andrew Horowitz, one word. Thought we'd do a quick market update and talk about that. Yeah. It was kind of a, kind of a rough day today and yesterday. But before that, if we don't count today and yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P, is one of the best in history. As a matter of fact, it's could be one of the top five S&P 500 Januaries since 1950, which is pretty good. Can't complain about that. Earnings outlook is being strong. We see stock buybacks. Employees are getting bonuses all over the place. This magic $1,000 number, $1,000, where'd that come from?
I have no idea. Everyone's doing it, though.
Yeah, $1,000. We'll give anybody $1,000.
$1,000. Here, go get yourself something pretty.
Yeah, somebody's got to boost it to like $1,200. The next guy's going to come in and boost it even more because everybody wants to be.
That would be a trend, yes.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. But everything is looking good. Sentiment is up because of the tax cuts. Just everything is looking good. Last week, the S&P was up 2% and the Dow was up 2%. NASDAQ up almost 2.5%. And the small cap index up 0.65. And as I say, we had a good year last month in the S&P 500 up almost 7%. So getting back to a discussion that we had earlier regarding something that, you know, trying to take a look at what's happening with the valuations in terms of charting of the S&P 500, for example. And one of the things you could look at is things like the 50-day moving average. Right now, we'd have to come down about 5.5% to meet the 50-day moving average.
But you want to talk about the Bollinger Band.
I do want to talk about Bollinger. Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, Bollinger. Oh, you read my mind. so Bollinger Band, what this is a statistical calculation by John Bollinger. And he looks at a moving average, usually a 20 or a 50-day moving average. And what happens is you use two standard deviations above and two standard deviations below to see where values are. Oftentimes when you get to the upper ends of the Bollinger Bands, you see that things kind of hit there and they could be kind of traveling up, but it's not really very usual that you see them over the top or below the bottom for very long on the Bollinger Bands. So what I did is I put together a chart. You could find this over on DH Unplugged, episode number 393. And the chart's there. So you could take a look at this. This is as of yesterday, not today, because it was I did this yesterday afternoon. But you can see that the blue line on top is the two standard deviations above the 50-day moving average.
Am I looking at the SPY?
Yeah, this is the SPY.
What am I looking at?
SPY, yeah.
Okay.
Which is the S&P 500 ETF.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't say Bollinger Band.
Right, because the Bollinger Bands are the blue line and the green line.
Okay.
And the 50-day moving average is the red line. So you notice, though, that since the beginning of this year, we've been riding above the two standard deviations above the 50-day moving average.
Generally, yes.
And that, again, that doesn't happen for very long. Look at the left part of the chart in October. You see it go over there just for a little while, and then it kind of comes down. Bollinger Bands are still climbing. Same thing happened in December. Kind of peaked over the top and then came back in. Happened again. I mean, this is very, very normal.
Now, if I remember my charting laws, when the Bollinger Bands come together, which they do,
right,
then something's going to happen.
Yeah, we call that a squeeze.
And every time this, if you look at it throughout history, you can always see the stock goes flying higher or tumbling, one of the two.
Yeah.
And it's just some way of determining which way.
Yeah, the reason.
And in hindsight, it works 100% of the time.
It's perfect.
Yes, until you try to trade with it.
Yeah, well, What the squeeze means.
And it never works.
Yeah, what the squeeze means is that price is compressing. There is, in the market, there's the idea that there is agreement on price, so it's really not moving above or below for a while. And the longer that is compressed, the tighter the upper band and the lower band will usually come in the Bollinger Bands. And the next breakout is usually violent, whether it's a break up or a break down.
Yes.
But you'll notice this one, the Bollinger Bands have been spreading out.
Right.
Dramatically.
Which means this has got to end.
Well, what it means, yeah, it means that there's just way too much range going on here.
Yeah.
And then you can see how far it is away from, look how far it away from.
It's not even close. It's just out of control.
Yeah. So this was something I was looking at. There's a few other things like this that I was looking at. Everybody knows that markets are overbought if you want to look at a lot of different conditions, but nobody cares. Because not really.
I care. I really do.
Okay. Well, that's good because that's important. I mean, markets have emotions too. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to look at this. And I think that this was a real good calling that it was so far above, it was just destined to drop below. So we're a little bit below it now, but still not by very much. And not only that, the slope of the Bollinger Band is really going vertical. Compared to, you know, where it's been, you know, what?
Oh, it's out of control. As of, when is this, December? I don't know. Yeah, it's December. I can't tell. It just says 18 at the bottom there. But it's
18 is January. Yeah, that's the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else we got here. But, oh, yeah. So now what happened is let's turn the corner to today. Out of nowhere, sellers seem to appear. Dow Jones Industrial is down 500 points over the last 2 days. Which just takes us back to last Tuesday, you know, was off about 400 points at the low today, about 410 or 12 points, finished down about 362. It looked like it was going to actually, you know, go above negative 300 to try to towards the end, but just things collapsed. So there's a lot of reasons why, but one of the things that happened with the Dow Jones in particular was there was a bombshell drop this morning.
Yeah, and I believe that this bombshell, for one specific reason, I'm in agreement with the analysts who say this has accounted for much of the collapse.
You're talking about the whole Amazon.
Amazon,
yep.
Berkshire Hathaway, J.P. Morgan, they've decided that this is that they're sick of their companies and their investments and everything getting totally screwed over by the insurance industry, mm-hmm. which has made the medical business a profit center when it shouldn't be really. And so they're going to set up their own shop.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that about, when was it? Let's see, 6 months ago, Amazon dropped the bombshell on the food industry, right? Now they're getting together with these other two companies and they're trying to do something to lower costs for their hundreds of thousands of U.S. employees. We saw one of the big and the priciest stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial, United Healthcare, just get pummeled.
Yes.
On this news. And that actually took the Dow down by itself 75 points.
Yeah.
So now they're going to team up. I don't think they have a real plan here.
No, they just made this announcement. Right. I think there's zero plan.
No plan. So
they were smart. They would have shorted a lot of these insurance companies, which I'm sure somebody did.
Somebody did. But they want to do, quote, ways to address healthcare for their U.S. employees. Well, he's got insurance companies inside of his company as well. I mean, that's where he started, right, in the insurance business?
Yeah, it's true. But he would know how susceptible they are.
And he also, I think the other thing is, it's one thing if Amazon says they want to do something. It's another thing if J.P. Morgan, but Berkshire, with its with his heavy insurance background and all the players they can pull from that to actually design something is a serious player in this.
I'd agree with that.
You know,
but I would still emphasize Amazon's involvement because they're the real disruptors.
Oh, yes.
And they don't mind taking a beating.
Right.
Because
stockholders don't care. Let's keep on riding it up. But they're going to do something about addressing healthcare for their employees, improving employee satisfaction, reducing costs. So they may create this independent company. That's what some of the things that they talked about, which is free from profit-making incentives and constraints. So therefore, they're not looking to make profits. It's just look like, it's kind of like a country club with private membership.
And there was some thought that they'd roll this out to the general public. Mm,
that would be something, huh?
Well, it would definitely shake things up.
Right.
And thus, United Healthcare takes a tumble.
Yeah. And many other companies as well. So.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
It's going to be a rocky road for them for a while, I would think, because of this uncertainty. And again, I also am of the... I'm disgusted with the fact that while we had the idea that this universal healthcare, or whatever you want to call what we have here, and this was put in place to save money, and it was put in place to make sure that the insurance companies didn't have massive profitability, and these insurance companies have more profits than they've ever had before, ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, and everybody's getting ripped off left and right.
Yep. Doesn't stop. And that has helped along with the drug companies. It's one big cackle of, people.
It's racketeering is the way I see it.
That's exactly what it is, actually. That I agree with. It's definitely racketeering. GDP for the fourth quarter came out this week. Maybe it was the end of last week, I guess. It was Friday of last week.
Yeah, I think so.
Came in at 2.6%. So all this rah-rah about we're going to be over 3%.
Yeah.
And, how we couldn't get over this 2 level for some time, and we're definitely going to do it now, and the economy is just doing great. What happened?
It hasn't quite fully kicked in, I guess. We'll see.
I see.
Give it another year.
Another year. Yeah. Well, there's another chart there that shows both the GDP quarter over quarter and the GDP year over year. So you can see that it is on a year over year.
It's not doing any. According to this chart.
Yeah, it's doing nothing.
It's flatlined.
Yep. A little up, a little down, but nothing else. And that's been the same thing since 2011. There's a couple of spikes in 2000.
One of your favorite charts, by the way. You've played this one before.
Yeah, I like the colors.
Yeah.
If you can't get them with facts, get them with colors.
We'll do it.
Yeah. We have coming up Friday the employment report for January. So here again, it's just like it keeps coming. First Friday of the month. it's like Monday.
It never ends. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, Monday. It's always Monday, but it's never Friday. Expectations are for a gain of 190,000 and a 4.1% unemployment rate. If you remember last month, the numbers weren't so good. But everybody looked past that, of course. And possibly the reason why we're seeing a little more volatility in the markets is Treasury yields are a rising.
Mm.
So... we're now at the highest level on the 10-year as it was back in 2014. And I think the 2 year is as high as it was back in 2008. So we're starting to get a little bit of a possibility of an inverted yield curve.
And, that wouldn't be good.
Nope. Now we have the rate decision tomorrow by Yellen, her last meeting.
Oh, I thought she was already out.
No, February February. February he starts.
Huh.
Yeah. So the question I ask you is this the start of your bond cycle bust?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's also somebody came out showing that the risk of munis, which is, I think, where it'll start. And it might be. I mean, could be.
I think I sent you that article.
But you never know. I mean, you said the other thing. Okay. It just the one thing I remember when that bond expert came out, I don't know, 5 years ago, talking about the bond collapse.
Oh, Whitney, what's her name? Whitney?
No, this is a guy.
Oh, okay.
Very respected bond guy.
Is it Gundlach? Not Gundlach.
I don't know. I can't remember who it was.
All right.
But I just remember that he was like the guy. He was the go-to guy for bonds. And his only comment was because they asked him, when's this going to happen? He says he has no idea.
Right.
But you'll know it when you see it.
Ah. So that's like me saying right now that we're going to have a 10% correction. I'm not going to put down a date, but we're going to have one. I can't be wrong.
And you'll know it when you see it.
You'll know it when you see it. It's going to be 10%. I'm telling you, I guarantee you that sometime in the future, we are going to have a 10% correction.
I can guarantee that too.
Yeah. Same kind of thing.
Well, I would hope that the bonds wouldn't move so fast. I mean, typically when you have a correction, a 10% correction in the market, it's really over about a 3-week period. I mean, it goes down fast.
Right.
and you don't really have time to analyze it. You either better be in or out. You better be out, or you have to wait.
The thing about bonds is it will take, like, it's like a slow death, right?
Yes, it should be a slow. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It should be a slow motion. So you should be able to. Well, then again, you don't know. I mean, I've always people, you know, if you study these ups and downs in the market, especially collapses, there's never been a single triggering mechanism. It's always something new and creative. And so, yeah, maybe bonds have never collapsed, you know, anything but slow motion. What happens if they go nuts and just collapse like crazy?
Yeah.
We've never seen that before, so it's a possibility.
Well, we did see some of that back in 2008 because that was a financial-centric meltdown. And we saw, like, preferred stocks get hammered, kind of quasi-bond. Yeah. We saw bonds, a variety of the junk bonds, just get just destroyed. You know, you saw a lot of things happening. Well,
it was pretty quick.
Yeah, and many of the companies that were embroiled in all these problems, their bonds just went down, 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 down. I mean, just the banks in particular. And a lot of the corporate bonds that you get that you can get decent yields on and the shorter term floating rate debt and all that, it's all bank related. So, you know, banks have to be strong for all this to kind of run well. But I do wonder if the stock market takes some heat if we're going to continue to blame bonds, because some of this is being blamed on bonds. That's the bond, blame bond.
Ah, bond, blame, I get it.
Get it now?
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll see.
Yep.
So I don't know if this is the start or not. Maybe it is, but you know, the month of March keeps coming up in the conversation.
Well, here's something interesting. I got this today, an email from Trim Tabs, that every once in a while they come up with, you know, something that's of interest, but I can never pin down exactly why I don't like their information. But let me just tell you what they came up with, okay? So they said that demand for bond funds has exploded in January after moderating in November and December. There were inflows of about $38.2 billion into bond mutual funds and ETF through the month, through January 25th. And it's on track to be the highest flow since October 2009.
Why?
I don't understand. I mean, maybe because they've had negative returns for the last few months or something, but you know, there's a rotation into them from stock. I don't know, but you would think that with rates ticking higher that people would be continuing to stay away from this. But meanwhile, massive inflows. Mm. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the stuff that came out of Davos, this economic confab?
I probably did, but I didn't come away with anything that's noteworthy that I can recall that I know, except Trump. You know, he goes over there and says we're open for business, and that was about that.
Yep. And the line that everybody's talking about is, let's see, what did they say? America first is not America alone.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Yeah, somebody wrote that.
Yeah, that's a really good line, I thought. But a lot of interesting commentary out of that. Even with this trade war heating up, there seems to be a global euphoria about the potential for, you know, continuing growth and just everywhere. There is not a place that you could find that isn't doing well. So they have that on CNBC and they kiss everybody's ass that comes on there. Joe Kernan. I don't know if you ever heard my beef about Joe Kernan. I can't stand the guy anymore. Watch this guy. This is a guy in the morning with Becky Quick and Andrew Ross Sorkin. And he interrupts incessantly. He asks questions that are five times longer than any answer. He then, everything that somebody talks about, he tries to get them trapped into two things. First, to look back at what their end of year valuation was for the S&P 500 and show them how they were wrong. And to turn everything into this is because everything that Trump has done and the Republicans and how the past 8 years, they were wrong with all the things they said about why the markets would be good. It's all now about, Trump, everything.
Is he pro-Trump or anti-Trump?
No, he's pro-Trump.
He's a Trump tub thumper.
It's unbelievable how bad it is. Unwatchable. Mm. Unwatchable. As a matter of fact, he blocked me on Twitter because I bitched out too many times, I guess, about him, and he just doesn't want to hear it. Oh, well. My feelings are not hurt, Joe Kernan. But if you watch it in the morning, it really, you'll see what I'm talking about. He's snarky and just obnoxious. And he just, you know, the whole point of a business show is turned into a political, just a circus with him and constantly ribbing on.
That's very unusual for the NBC groups, any of the networks that are just anti-Trump.
Yep. It's unbelievable. And nobody wants to really argue with him either, because arguing with him is just, it's impossible, because
he's probably a bully. I know the type.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Apple, because Apple is, we have a few reports coming out this week. We have tech earnings from Microsoft on the close after the close on Wednesday. We have Amazon, Apple, Google on Thursday, plus a few hundred names. About 20% of the S&P 500 is reporting this week. But let's talk about Apple for a second here, because I've been seeing a lot of notes that expectations for calendar quarter one and two is not going to be so good. The iPhone X demand is not living up to expectations. We're seeing that several suppliers are cutting that back on their outlook. Is this something you've seen a lot of? Did they come out with the 8 and the X too close together? What's going on here?
I've given up trying to figure it out. So you're asking the wrong guy. I've noticed there's a report that came out this morning about how Apple's happy with the X or 10 or whatever you want to call it, because it turns out that they're selling better than they thought in some, you know, in Puerto Rico or something. And it's just I don't know. I have no idea. I think that Apple is putting so many of its eggs in the one or two baskets that it's just asking for trouble. I know long term they can't keep this up. There's no way. It's impossible.
It's impossible, especially with the prices of these phones. I mean, can you imagine if people all of a sudden weren't willing to spend that kind of money on a phone?
Yeah, or somebody comes up with a phone that lasts more than 2 years and it doesn't break when you drop it.
Right.
What then?
Yeah. And I'm surprised they haven't had more fallout, although they've had some with the whole battery issue. I still think the battery issue was a cover-up for their purposeful ramping up the OS to a point where the older chips couldn't handle the load anymore, therefore doing everything they can to make you upgrade.
Well, that would be logical from a capitalist perspective. Why are they doing us this favor about the batteries? Then batteries and lithium-ion batteries, which is what these are, don't tend to deteriorate in that form. The NiCads do a little more. I'd have to talk to a battery guy about it. But my understanding from the days when I was writing for Forbes and I did a lot of battery stories for some reason. Zinc air bat. I did.
You were the battery guy, huh?
Well, I was becoming the battery guy. Oh, God. And it's just that there's a lot of misconceptions about some of these batteries. And as far as I know, lithium ion, you know, I think they outlive the phone, but I could be wrong.
Did you have like a battery testing bench with meters and stuff like that?
I'm not testing nothing.
You didn't do anything.
What I'm doing is I am talking to people and they're telling me what's what.
So you're gathering information from people that may have been testing them.
Yes, they may have the tests.
Right. All right, let's talk about Twitter for a second here. Rumors continue to circulate once again about, Anthony Noto is out now. But now that there's something, Salesforce may buy them, pick an offer on them. Plus several newsletter mentions in this year it's going to be the year of Twitter. And today we're seeing things come out that, this whole newsfeed thing is, with Facebook, is really going to be very, very good for Twitter, because, you know, people are going to want to go to Twitter. It's unbelievable the amount of rumors that continue to circulate that none of this comes true. The last innovation they had was 280 characters. You still can't edit a tweet. Right?
No, but what you can do is what I do. It's what you screwed a tweet up. You just you cut it, delete it, start a new tweet,
right,
paste it, and then edit that while it's still in the edit mode.
Right.
So it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not that big of a deal. But
you know, you don't want to do one that's too old, because, you know, then it moves it out of the timeline. But mm-hmm. You can fix it on the spot.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't know how they can delete the tweet.
Upper thing on the right there. Click delete.
Yeah, a little button. The little down thing.
So now the other thing is, now we have rumors that the company's looking to sell itself, lifting the stock another 4%. And then today there was some other crap that lifted the stock like 2%. So a lot of rumors circulating about Twitter. It's up nicely recently.
Yeah, it needs to be shorted.
Yeah. Now in Intel, we know there's been a lot of problems, of course, with regard to their couple of different vulnerabilities with the chips. And meanwhile, the company comes out with earnings and blows the doors off of the earnings. Great quarter. Breaks out to all-time highs.
Yeah.
And now Microsoft is coming out with a fix for the fix.
Supposedly.
It's crazy. All right, switching over to more important issues. Steve Wynn. Now, it looks like this is the next phase of the Me Too about to start. By the way, I read today that in China, they're clamping down on any Me Too because it is not publicly acceptable. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you're saying. I can see the Chinese doing that.
Yeah, they clamped down on that. So dozens of people, I guess women, are recounting patterns of sexual misconduct by Las Vegas mogul Steve Wynn of Wynn Resorts. And the employees and others have described him as a person who has sexualized his workplace and pressured workers to perform sex acts. Now, let's put this in context just for a moment. This is not the guy that is the head of a library. This is Vegas. Isn't Vegas all about, I'm not saying it's good to do what he
pretty
did.
Pretty much right? A sex town.
But isn't that what it is? It's you have the showgirls and the pasties and the, you know, all the different.
Yeah, strippers.
Yeah. And you got legal, don't you have, isn't it semi-legal?
You have to leave that one county that Vegas is in, but you go to the next county over.
Yeah, the Bunny Ranch and all that
legal.
Stuff. Yeah.
So he said, of course, the state. It's legal in the state.
Yeah, he said, of course, the idea that I ever assaulted any woman is preposterous. Stock is down about 10% in reaction, down another 8% on Monday, and today popped up about 4%. But again, I totally am not at all giving any kind of hey, it's okay because he did it or what? No, I mean it's all bad. But I just find it really interesting about what people think was going on when they dealt with Steve Wynn, who's one of the old line gambling Vegas strip guys. I mean, that's what these guys, I mean, just stay away from him.
Well, I wonder if this was not just a straight up and up hit job because Wynn was such a high profile Republican. And they're sick of the fact that the Democrat, you know, they were hitting on the hit jobs were always on Democrats who've been doing weird craps for 20 years. We're talking about the Hollywood scene with actors and producers and a bunch of different characters. And we had to get a Republican in or somewhere. This guy looked like a ripe, looked like a target. He's pretty much blind and. The way he defends himself is mediocre, and they're asking for the money back, and it's all this stuff. It's just like, why would you? I still don't understand why anyone would have to give the money back, any money that he contributed to their campaign. I would say the same thing for the other guy. Money was, it's gone, it's in there, and it should have been spent.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm dubious about some of this stuff, and Wynn in particular.
Yeah, I mean the timing.
But your point, I think your point is definitely well taken. It's Vegas. It's a sin city. Hello.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like you're going to the nunnery.
Yeah, it's not like a priest.
Yeah, which that's a different story. But yes. So anyway, the question is whether or not Wynn has been on a great run. They have some good numbers out of Asia, which is they pretty much have that whole thing under wraps. There's a new one coming out in Boston that may be something going on there, and I don't know if they're going to stop any
again.
Again,
I'm looking at a Democratic controlled state, and Wynn being a Republican, and I think had the best bids to get into Massachusetts. and maybe they didn't want him in. Could be some sort of a play there. I don't know. It just seems dubious.
Yeah, maybe somehow if he changes his bid and ups it by, I don't know, a few hundred million, things will just pass over.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
Yeah. There's some news out of Dell. This was weird. Dell is considering, you probably have read this, and I read a bit about this, but they're considering, you know, don't forget they went private, and because Michael Dell wanted to get out of the public spotlight. They're considering a reverse merger with VMware so they can avoid an IPO. And Dell currently owns about 80% of VMware. The deal would give shareholders.
Oh, I don't know why, but I'd never heard this story.
Yeah.
So they want to go, he wants to revisit the public market?
That's the story we're getting. The deal would give Dell shareholders a way to profit from having taken Dell private in 2013 and help pay off some of the debt. I think there's $50 billion of debt still over there.
Yeah, that would pay off the debt.
So just to let you know how shareholders thought of this, what they thought of it, VMware stock was down about 12% on the news. That was pretty ugly.
Wow.
Yep.
I would have predicted it was going to go up.
There was some rumor about something, I think it was Friday, and the stock went up a bit, and there was some excitement surrounding it because it was just some rumor about this. But when they talked about how they would do a reverse merger and how there would be so much more debt, and actually, you know, that means VMware shareholders, the other percent that own it, would have to absorb this debt. That's what got people really freaking out.
Huh.
Yep.
Generally speaking, when there's a reverse merger, the company that is the I don't know what you want to call them, the sucker or the target, the sap, the company that all of a sudden becomes another company, just because, benefits. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you would think that would be the case. But I guess this is because of so much debt. And that's going to be brought back to VMware.
Interesting.
There's another deal that happened. Green Mountain Keurig. They went private. They're buying Dr. Pepper Schnapple.
Huh.
Yep. 35% premium. And now it's going to be called like Dr. Pepper Keurig or something like that. So I wonder, and they own a lot of different brands. Now, what's interesting is you wonder if some, I don't know how, but they have the Keurig cold, of course, if they're going to try to then somehow take these soda lines and the Snapple lines and put them into, then
you go buy that other company, SodaStream.
Well, you sell SodaStream. If they get into the business that is going to be competing against them, isn't that a problem?
And for SodaStream?
Yeah.
Yes, but what if this is a merger acquisition candidate instead?
So they're going to buy that too. So it'll be Keurig, Dr. Pepper, Schnapple, SodaStream.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's a possibility. What is SodaStream trading at right now?
I don't know. I can look it up. No, not on Google Finance, of course. The worst.
Yes, it's completely fallen apart.
All right, it's trading at $78.16 in the last month.
SodaStream?
Yeah, $78.16. It's up from, let's take a look over a year. It's up from, let's say, a year ago, it was trading at 45.
Well, it's doubled almost.
Yep.
Well, maybe that's the merger that we're talking about. That's possibly the merger candidate.
This is interesting.
Who wants to reinvent the wheel?
Huh, this is interesting. SodaStream International is an Israeli drink company best known for the maker of the consumer home carbonation product of the same name. This is from Wikipedia. Headquarters in Lod, Israel. Founder is Guy Hugh Gilby. Founded in 1903 in London. That doesn't sound right.
No, it sounds like a reverse merger.
Yeah, something's not right there. Yeah, they loaded into something else. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. You remember that Bitcoin tracking ETF, the GBTC?
Right.
That was trading at, I don't know, 1,800, 2,000, and it did a 91-to-1 reverse split. Now it's trading at $17.96. And yesterday, when Bitcoin was down, it was up nicely, and obviously people just want to get this, even though there is a massive premium to the net asset value. So in other words, the net asset value of actual Bitcoins they own, for example, this is not exact, but maybe 25% of the actual value of the whole, of the, you know, of the capitalization of this ETF. So there's a massive differential. And you would say, well, let's short this thing. And we've done that before. But I got to tell you something. They're not taking this amount down. They're not taking this premium from the NAV down too much, which is really weird.
It just shows you it's the beginning of the end.
Yeah. All right. We have, by the way, we have several limericks today from people that sent them in. But before that, I thought I would just throw at you a quick quiz. A quiz.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. What is 22.22, 14.18, 12.36, 31.19, -5.38, 0.65, 35.47, 17.74, and 10.85?
I have no idea.
Those are the stock returns from my picks that we closed or are still open this year. So maybe some that came were from last year that closed this year in their performance. The ones that were picked this year that are either open or closed so far.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You want the bonus quiz?
Those are my picks.
You want to read those?
11.53, -7.3, 1.5, -5, -5, -0.8, -10, 25, -1, and -3.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I had a lot of bad picks.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, it's just a cyclical thing. Yeah, you get on a roll, the next thing, it's good to know.
Yeah. You're going to probably charge right up after this.
It seems unlikely. But I would say, what is the biggest number on... Well, you got the biggest number, 35. Yeah, there you go. I have the second biggest.
No, I have the second biggest. Sorry. I have 35 and 31.
Oh.
I think
you're the third biggest.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure you would. I think the year before would have gone differently, but...
Yeah.
You didn't do the pop quiz last year.
Sorry. Yeah, you had some good ones last year. You had some big ones. Baker Brothers. I mean, those were Bygene and all that. That was enormous. And you had that Netflix short. Remember that one?
Oh, the Netflix short was a winner. Yeah.
Well, it's
still
time.
Waiting for it to happen again.
It is time for Fed limericks. The audience seems to like this. I don't know how long we're going to do this for, but some people have written in that you're very unfair in your grading. You're not only unfair, but you are uneven.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I'm just telling you what they said. So here we go. This one sent by Gary Henneberry. You've given him a few C's and C minuses, I believe.
Yeah, he gets a lot of C's. He's like a.
Yeah. He starts with his limerick is Fed says they need more inflation to give savers a fair situation. Consumer price deflator a phony, communication tool baloney, but for now on Wall Street, elation.
Situation, elation, inflation. I'll give him a B+ for that one.
Oh, very good. This one's mine. A name from the past was Greenspan. Confusing us was words was his plan. When inflation did hit, he cracked with a whip, killing stocks like a sharpshooting hitman.
Plan, Hitman, Greenspan. I think you got one too many beats or something in that last line. Something is amiss. So I'm going to give you a C.
Oh, I thought this was such a good one. I thought this was a good
it's
one.
It's good, except that I think you're off a little bit.
So my rhythm, my tempo, my something.
Yeah,
was-
the rhythm wasn't there. I mean, Henneberry had nice rhythm.
Mm. Okay, here we go. Here we have one from Dame Amanda of the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
The U.S. suffered a very bad run. No, let me start again. The U.S. suffered a very bad bank run. The resulting depression was no fun. Wilson made a pact to pass the Federal Reserve Act. A century later, we're still in a recession.
I hate to tell Dame Amanda, but she'll get a D+ for that one.
Yeah, killing her.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Dame Amanda. All right. All right. Okay. We got one more.
I think you used the word procession and recession. That would work. But run, fun, and recession is it doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't have that oomph, that extra something.
Yeah.
She could do better.
All right. then we have Matthew Taylor sends in this one. It's time to turn off the free flow of cash as QE starts to slow. Man, let me start again. It's time to turn off the free flow of cash as QE starts to slow. But here comes the trouble. What is the next bubble? Only John and Andrew will know.
That has everything going for it. I'll give that one an A.
Wow. Wow.
There you go.
Matthew Taylor. Very nice. Of course, if you like the Limericks, you can always donate to the show. Send in whatever you can. If you need to mortgage your house, put it, on a credit card, to the limit. Whatever it is, it's fine.
Yeah, it's better giving us the money than losing it on Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. We should probably keep a record of the marks here, what everybody gets here. But yes, you can actually kindly give, and you can go over to DH Unplugged and click on the donate button, and that works out real well. We have, of course, running right now. And by the way, I can't stress that enough, that you really should give a little bit, something. It makes us feel really good. The close to the pin for NVIDIA is actually going on. Let's just take a quick look here. We have a lot of entries here, a lot of entries. Let's see here. The closest to the pin right now is Guy B, who is 28 cents away. NVIDIA closed at 242.72. And Greg W is 0.53. You're 11% away. You're high. And I am 5.5% away, and I'm low.
Oh, if you're low, you're going to lose.
Oh.
I think it's going up.
It has been.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But a lot of people are pretty tight. I mean, a lot of people are anywhere from, 28 cents away to $5. And $5 is only 2%.
Yeah.
So anyway, all the guessing is closed for NVIDIA. We'll have the results, I believe it's next Friday or the Friday after. Let's see here. Okay, on to the back half. More companies are hiking wages and salaries than in any other time over the last 18 years, according to a survey. The National Association of Business Economics, whoever the hell they are, said the net percentage of those companies that have increased wages and salaries over the last 3 months rose to 48 in January, up from 38 in October, and the third highest reading since 1982. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'd say.
So the big question is going to be if the Fed is going to come in and be, oh, man, we can't have this wage increase because it's going to lead to inflation and put the kibosh on things. Just when things are going well.
Yeah, don't they want a little bit of inflation that's real?
It seems that they do. So they say, but who knows with them? It's a moving target. I have no idea what it is they want any longer. I mean, I know what they say. They want, they want full employment, and they want the two things. They want full employment, and they want inflation.
Control
over 2% or at 2%,
like
or whatever.
2-something% inflation controlled.
Right.
Something like that.
We also saw that the number of deaths caused by workplace accidents in China fell 12.5%, only to 38,000 in 2017. Compared to the previous year. But fines for work safety violations rose 58% in a year, which I guess that's good, actually. I mean, seriously, that's good, because if they're actually going out and actively fining companies, maybe the companies are going to be more reactive, thereby boosting up their safety, and that's why maybe the workplace deaths actually fell.
It could be.
So that's good. That's a lot of people, though. I mean,
well, it's a big country.
I know, but still 38,000 seems like a lot.
I'm thinking it's higher.
You think it's higher? Yeah, well, it probably is. But that just seems like a lot of... I mean, what happens? Things fall on people?
Hands chopped off. They get killed. They fall in a hole.
This is deaths. This is not accidents. This is deaths.
Oh, deaths by... Oh, well, then they get hit by a swinging ball. Who knows?
Right. Deutsche Bank will hike... Oh, this is great. Deutsche Bank... they get all sorts of problems. They're going to hike annual bonuses to more than $1.2 billion, despite posting its third consecutive annual loss in 2017. So now we're giving...
They're just giving the money away.
Yeah, it's giant financial participation trophies. Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah,
pathetic. We saw the big hap on the in the crypto world last week. A fund name, an exchange called CoinCheck was hacked for $534 million worth of NEM coins. And once those are gone, they're gone. So Japan is coming in and they're planning to slap an administrative punishment on the exchange operator rather than, of course, close them down. Because, you know, why would you do that? Now, in their defense, CoinCheck said they're going to give all the money back to the people.
Sure they are.
Yeah, probably.
Where do they get that much money?
They'll steal it from another account. You know, I don't know. I mean, some of these companies are making some serious scratch.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. You probably saw this story. Over the past decade, out-of-state drug companies shipped a total of 20.8 million prescription painkillers to two pharmacies four blocks apart in southern West Virginia that has only 2,900 people that live there.
Yeah. Well, this is an ongoing story, and this scandal always has the same kind of statistics, and you just did another one of them. It just makes no sense, and the fact that they can't crack down on this is, like, ludicrous.
I really don't understand. What did they do with them? They diverted them? I mean, you can't sell them legally, that many, 2,900 people, unless those people are pretty damn stoned.
I would say, yeah, or dead.
I don't understand how they do that.
I don't understand how this can happen.
Well, they got, let's see, they got hydrocodone and oxycodone.
Those are the big boys.
Yep. Town of Williamson in Mingo County. Amid the panel's inquiries, the role.
It probably took them 10 years to figure this out.
Yeah. And probably not going to stop for those switch drugs.
Yeah. And so the feds want to go after the marijuana, legal marijuana in California and Washington.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they should rethink their policies.
Maybe. Maybe. But, you know, one of them is a major money winner and taxable, and the other is not.
Mm.
And one has a very, well, I guess they both have big lobbies at this point. Now, on Monday, the Securities Exchange Commission was looking into the insurer MetLife's failure to pay workers' pensions. It seems that 600,000 people who receive a type of annuity benefit from the company didn't get their payments. A total of about $525 million to $575 million on a pre-tax basis.
Really?
Let's see. Yeah, they're going to have to increase their reserves, and the company would take a hit to its fourth quarter earnings between $135 million and $165 million. Stock was down about 8% today on this. That sucks.
Doesn't sound right.
There's a lot of people, and they're like, oh, it wasn't intentional. Oh, okay.
I mean, then what was it?
I don't know, but 600,000 people? And I mean, how did it take?
Somebody noticed that the check printer wasn't working.
Right, we had a paper jam. We couldn't get it out. We were out of ink. We were out of ink. We just couldn't get the checks out for a few years. We didn't. You know, the problem was we didn't use HP original cartridges, and it just messed up all our machines.
Yeah, it clogged.
Now here's something from here's a story that you just say, oh yeah, no kidding. You know, there's always somebody looking for an angle, right? So small financial firms backed by hedge funds are looking to do business and work with sexual harassment victims. Companies that offer money to plaintiffs in anticipation of future legal obligations and settlements are racing to capitalize on sexual harassment lawsuits, kind of like payday loans for sexual harassment victims.
Yes. That's what it sounds like.
Is this unbelievable?
It's very unbelievable. It's actually kind of, this is kind of creative, you know, in a certain kind of way. Can't people come up with something that's non-destructive and creative? This is not really a good idea.
This is what Rothstein was doing. I mean, he did it in a Ponzi scheme. You know, he was saying, oh, we know we have all these cases that are coming due. This guy's getting $1 million. If we give him $500,000 now, he's going to be happy. And we then have the ownership of the lawsuit, of the settlement. And it's all done. It's all written up. It's all, you know, it's all ready. It just, the judge has to sign off on it and the money's coming. Now, we know what he did. It was a big Ponzi scheme. Now, this is the same concept, though. Maybe not a Ponzi scheme per se, but they're saying, well, you know what? We know that these sexual harassment victims are going to go sue and they're going to get some money. So we're going to give them money in advance for their lawsuit. It's just, this stinks to high hell. It's just, it's awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And finally,
because
we are running out of time here, Indonesia, going over there. Their parliament is drafting proposed revisions to the National Criminal Code that could ban all consensual sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
Sparking alarm amongst activists who think that it may breach basic rights and it can be misused to target the LGBT community.
Oh, yeah, it could be. I think it's all part of the promotion of Sharia in that part of the world.
That could be. But the world's gone mad. Let's just get that straight, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line of this. The world has gone freaking mad. I just always bring it back to the whole greed thing. Anyway, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
I discuss food delivery services and what is missing from the whole formula.
And this is the reason for your tweet.
Well, the tweet was, I don't know what I said in the tweet.
It was research. You were saying which food delivery services do you use and why?
Oh, yes. No, right. That's because I wanted to add some names to the list of, yes, it's true. That's with a tweet. I also did a good tweet recently. I had all my, I did about 5 or 6 columns complaining about Google Glass and how stupid it was, including one column that says the whole thing was a hoax, which I got condemned for. And I tweeted out the last of the 4 of the better of those columns. It's actually a very good reading.
Didn't you go back and forth? I mean, I think I have them coming up here. We have the tweets rolling on the DH Unplugged site. Let's see. Worth reading, department, my last column on Google Glass, my first column on Google, the famous hoax on Google Glass, all those, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but this column is also going to be fun to read because it's I tried to go in a direction and the column dragged me back to something else and I came up with a very unique idea as far as I know, and I put it out there into the public domain so nobody can really patent it as a business thing, and you have to read it.
Okay,
I'm not gonna give it away like I do every show.
Yeah, it's over on PC Magazine. Right, PCMag.com, yes. I believe it is.
Yeah, it'll be running probably tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Well, let's see, we covered that. We covered please give us donations. We covered our Twitter handles. We covered all this. We covered the markets. Okay. How about we get to the stocks?
Okay, sounds good.
So the usual disclaimer here, this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It is nothing more than just some ideas that we come up with each and every week. If for whatever reason you decide that you have to invest and you want to just follow us along, well, make sure that you understand that it's very risky. We're not giving you recommendations. Seek financial advice from a professional. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own any of these securities, and we will reference that on the sheet. Where you can find this is everything that we talk about is over on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock picks column. Just click that. And you'll see what's going on, the gains, the losses, since inception, the thesis on why we picked it. And it's live and active throughout the day. So we'll give you the actual performance.
So we have a number of, it's almost all green except for 2 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my Amazon short, which didn't pay off at all. And Redfin Corp, which is your long.
Yep.
Which is crapping out.
It's done.
The other shorts, which include, there's 2 other shorts. One is the Straight Path Communications, which is yours, and it's good. It's up 22%. And the Synchrony Financial, which is just dead money, but it's not. It's in the green.
Yep.
Also, there's a couple of good ones here. You have RYB Education in ADR you picked up, and it's up 12%. Also, the Cara Therapeutics earnings and data, Penske Automotive Group, which is a insider's buying that I picked, and everything else is just new, mostly new, except for that old straight path. You have anything for this week?
Wait a minute. You missed a big one.
Which one?
You missed.
Oh, yes, the one that you bragged about on Twitter.
I didn't brag about it.
ProShares Trust.
Somebody else said something.
It wasn't, wait. Short.
That wasn't me. I didn't say. Somebody else said that I did the perfect. That was not me.
Yes, this thing is up 31% from the 10th of January to, it's a volatility play, is the way you put it. It went from 9 to 12, like in a couple of weeks. It was a great pick. That was an ultra, was that a ultra VIX?
Yep.
Right.
That thing's been just lagging and dying. It'll probably die.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a really good, I would have actually put money in that if I was thinking clearly.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
All right, so this week I do have one. It's an earnings play that's coming out in a couple of days. Aflac. Yep, it's Aflac, and I'm going short for the reason being that one of the things that the insurance companies in Japan, and this is a Japanese company, are very susceptible to is movement of currencies. And while they have another negative, also the bond rates, and that could really hurt them as well. So now they have bond rates that are, they come up a little bit, but still, that's, we're not talking about long-term here. They're still very low in Japan, but the yen has come up pretty significantly as the dollar has driven, you know, straight down over the last year, let's say. And I think there is the possibility that while things are better in the financial markets, no question about that, and people could be buying, they have like, you know, cancer insurance, and they have like, you know, double indemnity death insurance, and they have some health, you know, they have some weird insurance going on. But I think that one of the things that, that's going to be a problem for them is the potential for the yen strengthening, and we may see that in their earnings coming up in a couple of days. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I got one that's kind of interesting, mainly because a bunch of the directors are buying shares at this ridiculously low price of 85 cents. And this is a very, this is a screwball speculation. This is a penny stock. They're always good for a laugh. AMMA.
AMMA. It's kind of like Mama, but not. Alliance MMA Inc.
Yeah.
At 85 cents. And you're going long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's more insiders?
It's all insiders. They're all buying like as much as they can. And it's got a book value of about $1.15 a share, and it's selling for 85 cents. So, I mean, come on. That's something cool. It's one of these. It's an MMA operation.
Let's see here.
You know, fighting, multi, whatever it is, fighting.
Yeah, mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts, that's what it stands for.
Okay, Arnold.
This is Alliance, one of the competitive operations.
Hmm. They're out of New York, 36 employees. They focus on mixed martial arts promotional activities, and they have content distribution, sponsorship, promotion. It tends to create a development league for professional MMA fighters. I can't watch MMA in that.
I can't either. UFC. I don't like it. This is a classic example of investing in a company you don't like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just saw something actually come up as I was on the Yahoo site, because I can't go to the Google site when I'm just doing the show here.
And by the way, this thing could hit $3.
Oh, my God. I suppose it could. Where was
it?
Was it? Let's see where it was. 5 years ago. It was up $4.50 back in 2016.
Yeah, there you go.
So at the top of the Yahoo Finance page is limited seating. Buy your tickets for Yahoo Finance's All Market Summit Crypto.
Everybody's got to get into the act.
Yep. Yep. So, and let's see how much it costs. How much do you think it costs? Let's see. Association with CoinDesk. Register now. 400 clams.
Well, there's the moneymaker right there.
Yep. Yep. It's
turn nothing into something.
Yep. Almost three light.
Put on a seminar.
Yep. Unbelievable. Oh, I gotta, let's take this down here. I did something there. All right, well, let's see. We're going to play the new intro here, or outro, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, we should probably go back to the other one, which actually has our female outro voice. I believe this one's just the song.
This has a male voice on it, yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk again next week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.